Poročilo.
Gibanje BDS je globalno gibanje za bojkot, dezinvesticije in sankcije proti Izraelu, dokler ta ne bo začel spoštovati mednarodnega prava pravic palestincev. Gibanje je leta 2005 ustanovila palestinska civilna družba, koordinira pa ga palestinski narodni odbor za BDS. V četrtek je gibanje pripravilo predavanje Ronija Barkana, izraelskega aktivista in soustanovitelja kampanje Boycott from Within, izraelske organizacije, ki se je pridružila kampanji BDS. Predavanje oziroma pogovor je sovpadal s predvčerajšnjo obletnico Nakbe oziroma katastrofe, ki še vedno traja, opominja pa nas na ustanovitev izraelske države, ob kateri je moralo svoje domove zapustiti več kot 700 tisoč palestincev, kar pomeni 3/4 takratnega prebivalstva. O pomenu tega dogodka, katere posledice še vedno niso odpravljene, beguncem iz takratnega časa pa so še vedno zanikane osnovne pravice, govori Barkan.
There were about 30% Jews on the land and they owned about 10% of the land. So there was a UN resolution, UN decision to partition that historic Palestine into two states, one for the Jews, the other for the local Palestinians or Arabs, whatever you want to call them. And that was already an unfair decision because that 30% Jews were given 56% of the land. Do the math, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Also, these 30% Jews were actually sort of newcomers to the land. They came in order to take over the land, in a sense. They were sort of colonizers. The Zionist project in Palestine is a colonialist project. So it wasn't a fair decision by the UN. But that wasn't the big Palestinian tragedy, or the Nakba. The Palestinian tragedy was that those who founded the Zionist state, the state of Israel, insisted to have what they call a Jewish and democratic state. Now, I don't know what that means, to have a Jewish and democratic state. It's not a logical term. Either you have democracy or you don't have democracy. But what it means for them, what it meant then and what it means today, is that in order to have this so-called Jewish and democratic state, they needed first to create a Jewish majority. If they control the majority, they can claim that they are a democracy. So the first thing that they did is they carried out a concerted effort of ethnic cleansing of the land. 800,000, 700,000 to 800,000 people were expelled from there. The indigenous people were expelled from there. About 530 villages were occupied or destroyed. It involved a lot of force, including many atrocities, including acts of massacre and rape and so on, but mostly a lot of force which convinced the people to get the hell out of there and leave.
V nadaljevanju poslušajmo še kompilacijo nekaj najbolj zanimivih izsekov iz predavanja in debate slušatelji, ki je sledila.
The Zionists who came to Palestine, to historic Palestine, there were a few waves of immigration, I refer to something that historian Ilan Pape brought us to mention several times. He studied these waves of immigration, and the second wave of immigration, which was in the early 20th century, they came to Palestine and they had this ideology, Zionist ideology, of a land without people, for a people without land, and then they arrived and they found people there. So that was a little bit problematic, that kind of shattered a little. But obviously, if there are people there, it doesn't fit their ideology, so these people don't belong there. And when they were hosted by these indigenous people of the land, and sometimes they were even taught how to work the land because they were not skilled at agriculture and so on, they would stay there in these houses, and at night they would write in their diaries. And in the diary they wrote many things, and they also wrote things like, tonight I'm staying at the house of this and this foreigner. So for them, staying in the house of this Palestinian, that Palestinian was a foreigner. Even though they just arrived at that land, maybe they were there a few months, maybe a year. But for them, these people, the indigenous people, were foreigners. This type of thinking hasn't changed to this day. And after all of that, also came, later on, 20 years later, came the military occupation of 1967. That military occupation means that the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem were occupied. Ever since, to this day, they are still militarily occupied. This is the longest running military occupation in modern time, and it's a brutal one. People under this occupation, their rights, their basic rights are being denied. They live under constant threat, invasions by armed soldiers to their houses, limiting their access, their freedom of movement, incarcerating many people. I don't remember the statistics, but I think that about one of four Palestinian men has been arrested in their life. Israel uses arrests to try to suppress all sorts of resistance, all sorts of acts of, anyone who stands up for their rights will end up in jail sooner or later. And they arrest thousands like this, many of them without trial. Israel has this form of what's called administrative detention, where they can actually take someone, put them in a military jail, and keep them there without trial, and they just have to renew it once every 6 months, and theoretically they can be kept there indefinitely. They don't only arrest grown-ups, they also arrest children. It's a common practice, coming in the middle of the night, arresting children at gunpoint. And this is obviously very scary, very intimidating. They usually keep children for a couple of months in jail for all kinds of very petty, minor accusations, claims, and what they usually do is actually they also extort some sort of a confession from these children, that they threw stones or whatever, and they usually also try to link, and we know that because it's being used in court afterwards, that these so-called testimonies from children are being used later on against grown-ups who are being indicted in court and so on. So even the U.S. thinks that this occupation has to end, at least according to what they say. So why does this carry on? This is the longest-running military occupation in modern time. I think the reason it carries on is simply because they can, because no one is holding them accountable. At the same time, they are doing all kinds of shticks, all kinds of tricks to divert the attention. And one wonderful way to divert the attention is to talk about the peace process. So the peace process has nothing to do with peace. It has everything to do with perpetuating the situation, with carrying on the situation on the ground. Aside from that, when we look at what they are demanding, Israel has all kinds of demands about the borders, The peace process, this so-called two-state solution they have demands about the borders, about the status of Jerusalem, about the settlements, about land swap, all kinds of things like that you may hear in the news. But the fact of the matter is very simple. The West Bank, Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem are occupied Palestinian territories. Israel has exactly zero rights over these territories. Since the politicians definitely don't do their role and they lend full impunity and full legitimacy to the state of Israel, then it is up to us to do whatever we can. But whatever we can do is actually proving to be quite successful. And in the last 10 years, and I will end here, I promise, in the last 10 years, we managed to actually change the whole discourse about Israel. So 10 years ago, still, people were discussing Israel, talking about Israel as the only democracy in the Middle East. Even though it's not a democracy, it never was a democracy. Not even to begin with. 5 years ago, more or less, they talked about Israel as a flawed democracy, a democracy minus. And nowadays, they're talking about Israel, starting to talk about Israel as what it is, which is an apartheid state, or a pariah state, or a state that is clearly does not align itself with at least the basic values that we would expect, does not respect the most basic human rights and clearly acts in violation, systematic violation of international law. And that is an achievement in itself, that the whole discussion about Israel is changing. And we see also other things happening with time. Even John Kerry, the American John Kerry, recently talked about boycott, and he recently uttered the word apartheid. It doesn't matter that he probably didn't mean the same as what I just meant now, but it means that this is actually arriving all the way up to the, you know, to the people in power. They will not align themselves that easily with what we're just saying, but definitely this is creating a change that didn't happen before, a change that didn't happen for the past, I don't know, 50 years or maybe 60 years, and now finally is happening. So the number of dissidents in Israel is a negligible few. Like I said, there is no left in Israel, never was. There are a handful of dissidents. Maybe other people will not agree with me, but that's my view. And yes, I don't count those people who call themselves left or peace camp or anything like that as leftists. If they want peace, they should respect basic rights of everyone, not only of Jews. About forms of struggle, I see BDS as being the most effective. I'm also a member of Anarchists Against the Wall, which is an activist group struggling alongside Palestinians and internationals. Usually most of the internationals are with ISM, International Solidarity Movement, but also others. And we struggle together in a quite a symbolic way against the ongoing oppression. Usually there are weekly demonstrations in different villages in the West Bank, and we go and demonstrate together. And I think that's, I mean, first of all, I mean, that's very meaningful for me, you know, all this, like, struggling together. But the main purpose that it serves is about sending this message to the world. Because, first of all, we have as many cameramen as we have demonstrators, because that's our weapon, the camera. And every demonstration is on YouTube and so on. And obviously we're not going to win over the fourth largest nuclear superpower in the world and one of the bigger military powers, and which is so heavily funded and so on by the US and so on. We're not going to win this over with a few activists against the wall, or not even with an armed struggle, I don't think so. I'm not against it. I'm not against the armed struggle. It is, by the way, legitimate under international law for Palestinians to struggle against the military, the armed forces, and I have absolutely no problem with that. I would say that the predominant voice that is being heard is obviously that Israel is right in what it's doing, because then usually they use the Holocaust as the excuse to do everything, anything and everything. But there are other voices. And you know, when my grandmother went to Auschwitz, and when my grandmother tells me, okay, it's fine, you can think whatever you want, but you don't have to speak about it, it's not nice to speak about it, then I tell her, well, you know who didn't speak up 70 years ago. That's my response to her.
Poročilo je pripravil Jaša.
Poročilo.